Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The reaction from the Giant locker room to Daniel Jones not just being benched but becoming QB4. We'll get to that coming up at exactly 3:25. But we mentioned how Woody Johnson wanted Aaron Rodgers benched after the fourth week of the season. Well, now is a very different situation. They're 3-8. They're coming on. They're going to have a bye week, and then they're going to come out of the bye week, and let's face it, their season is over. There is a reason to bench Aaron Rodgers that I think makes a lot of sense.
Which is?
It's not to see a young quarterback, because unfortunately Jordan Travis, I don't think, is ready to do such thing.
I think he's eligible for elevation off of IR, but I don't think they have an incentive to do that right now.
And I also don't think he's like ready to play.
No, he hasn't played or practiced since last year.
Right, when he had the gruesome leg injury. Right. So while that would be something that would excite me as a Jet fan, it's not really on the table. Your only option is Tyrod Taylor, who is what he is. He's a veteran quarterback. He's 36 years old. There's no let's see what Tyrod Taylor has. But there is a motivation to bench Aaron Rodgers, and that is to fully convince Aaron Rodgers to not want to be a New York Jet in 2025. If you think this has already convinced him, then fine. Let him play. Who the hell cares, right? But if there is still Aaron Rodgers saying, I like it here, I like New York, I like New Jersey, I like the jug handles, I have no interest in leaving, and you want this to be, you know, a nice little breakup at the end of the year, well, the best way to convince him to not want to be a New York Jet is to do something humiliating like benching him.
I think that would just... The PR nightmare that presents is devastating.
For Aaron Rodgers?
For everybody.
Well,
because you spent... Because think about the money and the time and the process they spent just to get him.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how long that took?
Yes.
It was forever.
Yes,
like,
I'm aware.
Dude, is this happening? Is this even going to occur? And then to bench him, like, it makes no sense. I know he's banged up and he's older.
Well, that's how it makes sense. You go to him privately and say, look, your benefit is you get to be well-rested for 2025. You know, why play injured when these games are pretty much meaningless? So I think that's the way you can do it. But you also tell him, look, we don't want you back next year. So why play you? Like, what are we doing? Why are we still hooking up with each other if we know we're getting divorced?
So who are you going to play?
Tyrod Taylor.
I can't see that happening. I just can't. It's just there's certain, even if it ends very badly for Aaron Rodgers, he's got to end on the field.
Does he?
Yeah.
Especially if he's hurt. Like, what the hell's the point?
I mean, he's not hurt. He's just not the same athlete that he was.
Right.
So I'm sure he's perfectly cleared to play. But taking hits at 40, soon to be 41, getting knocked down, especially on AstroTurf at MetLife Stadium, you know, trying to get back up, recover during the week, and feel healthy, that's hard, man. Mm. It's hard when you're 30.
No, I get you.
So when you're 40, you can only imagine. So I think he's got to be kicked out.
Wow.
Not by the game.
Right.
Not by a coach.
So I don't know if you guys have seen this, but yesterday the Mets acquired Jose Siri, an outfielder from the Tampa Bay Rays. Mm-hmm. So there's like this little joke rolling around that there's a Wheel of Fortune question in which there's a J and then three blanks after it, and then another, an S with three letters after it, and it says new Mets outfielder, because obviously Jose Siri would fit in those blanks, but so would Juan Soto, right? So that's the joke. Ha ha ha, Jose Siri, nope, it's Juan Soto. Tiki. Do you want to reveal what your joke was? Because I thought it was real funny.
So, you know, next year I'll be 50. Mm-hmm. So you know what happens when you hit like 40, you start to lose your eyesight a little bit.
Yeah.
You got to get reading glasses.
Sure.
I don't always have reading glasses with me. Mm-hmm. And so this Mets chat is loaded with stuff all day long.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Every now and then I glance at it. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then Ryan, right?
Yeah, Ryan, Adam Eaton.
Ryan.
You know, yeah.
This puzzle.
The JJ puzzle.
The JJ puzzle.
Fits Juan Soto, right?
So, I'm not even thinking about Juan Soto.
No.
I'm thinking he's talking about football. Now, on the bottom of the puzzle, it says New York whatever. What does it say?
It says New York Mets outfielder, but I can see new New York Mets outfielder, but you only saw New York.
I can't see anything. So
I can't see anything.
And so I write, oh, I thought you were sending us a jet puzzle. J blank, blank, blank. S blank blank blank, jump ship.
Yeah, that's what this guy writes.
Oh.
And so I spend 30
seconds. I thought
seconds.
He was going to say Jets suck.
Oh, no, that was so many different ways to go.
That's true. That would have fit too.
That
New
was the
York
first
Jets
thing that
suck.
Jumped into my mind.
So
I was
see
like,
this.
Oh, this is a Jets puzzle.
I'm like, what a freaking hater. And then I count it out. I'm like, damn it, it does fit. Jump ship. But to Sean's credit, so does Jets suck. Yeah, so I saw that and I was like, what a hater. Yeah, he could like Nate Hackett all he wants. What a freaking hater.
Jets suck.
I mean, I can't deny that. Jump ship, though, it's not in our blood.
I know it's not.
We're stuck.
I thought he was like imploring Jet fans to do that.
To just leave?
Right. Why, like, why give me a Jet puzzle that says Jets suck? Because, like... You know that already. So, jump ship. Get out.
Yeah.
it
shows the difference in humor that Sean has and Tiki has. Sean's just right to it. Jets suck. And Tiki's like, just jump ship.
Jump ship.
Why are you causing so much pain in your life? Let's get back to your calls. We'll get to the Giants, I promise, at 325. Are guys in the locker room genuinely annoyed about the treatment of Daniel Jones? 888-808-1019. Anthony is calling from Harlem. How you doing today, Anthony? My computer doesn't work, so someone else has to punch it up. Anthony in Harlem. Anthony.
What's up, man?
Hey, boys, how's it going today?
Good.
I got to give my one last jet rant for the season. So the fact that Woody wanted to bench Aaron Rodgers after four games and not get rid of the kicker shows how clueless he is in football, okay? This is hard. Listen, the Jets have 15 years of no playoffs. One winning season in the last 14 years. You are a joke of an organization. You're not respected around the league. That's the fact.
On the football field, you're right.
Yeah.
Anyone that made a football decision in the last 10 years, and this preceded Joe Douglas and Aaron Rodgers and Robert Saleh. I'm talking about Jaime Elheim, the president of football ops, the CEO, Brian.
Why are you getting on Jaime? I like Jaime.
Listen, I'm sure he's a nice guy.
But
he is. If he got fired tomorrow, is any team in the league hiring him?
Well, I don't know if he's in there from a football standpoint. I think it's more of everything else that goes on.
Does he have a say in football decisions?
That's the key question. I was just about to ask that, Anthony.
That's a good
I don't
question.
Know the answer.
I actually don't know the answer.
All right, forget him personally, because maybe you know him and he's a nice guy.
But
here's the deal. Anybody that has had a say in football decisions for the last 10 years needs to be gone.
Yes.
And you need to do what Dolan did and say, hey,
yes.
I don't know. Get ahead of football ops and say, run my organization.
Yes.
I'm going to pay you well.
Yes.
I'm going to check into you on a weekly basis. That's it. That's how you return to respectability.
By the way, that's the key. To anyone inside this organization, and I don't know the answer, none of us do, but we see the names. We see the names written down with job titles and in articles like The Athletic. If you're making football decisions or you've made football decisions, you deserve to be gone. That's the bottom line. Whether you're a nice guy or a nice person, it doesn't matter. If you've made football decisions over the last decade, your track record is the absolute worst. So if you're telling me, and I don't know genuinely, if this Jaime guy doesn't have anything to do with football and it's all business, then I'd say, wow, he's done a good job. Jets are really valuable.
Right.
Then almost I got no issue with you. Then whatever. Keep doing your job. Just stop raising ticket prices.
Right. But I mean, look, the challenge is when teams go through bad moments or bad years, and for the Jets it's been a decade and a half, everybody wants to blame somebody, and when it's this long you get tired of blaming the same people, right? The coach, the general manager, the owner, like,
but they keep changing those, Teak, and they're still bad.
I know,
that's the point.
I know, but reaching deeper in the organization, now you're gonna, I don't know, start blaming the video coordinator, right? You didn't tape practice well enough. Like, what? Like, it just becomes, we need somebody to yell at, as opposed to, we don't really know what's going on.
Well, we want to fix what's going on.
Right.
And clearly, there needs to be powerful voices who know what they're doing to fix the mess of not just these...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A la Douglas era, but before that, because this goes back a long ways. This isn't simply
right.
A Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh mistake. This goes back to Adam Gase and Mike Maccagnan. This goes back to Todd Bowles and Mike Maccagnan and John Idzik. It goes all the way back to really the last few years of the Rex Tannenbaum relationship. And then Tannenbaum lost his job and John Idzik came in and Idzik didn't want Rex, and then they both lost their jobs. I mean, this is going on for a very, very long time now. Let's go to Tim in Indian Hills. How are you, Tim?
Hey, guys. Tiki, big fan.
Thank you, man.
I think positive Tommy hit it on the head regarding Dolan. I think once he left the Rangers alone and he put Sather in charge, he started meddling more with the Knicks. And that was like 10 years ago. His last mistake there was with D'Antoni and Atkinson. And after he screwed that up, he kind of left them alone. That's what Woody's got to do.
But when is Woody going to do it? Like, Dolan did it, and we didn't even realize when he did it. We just woke up one day and was like, wow, Dolan hasn't been involved. And he admitted that one time he was on with Craig and I that he's less involved. And that's great. It's great that he's less involved. But what's the moment that's going to cause Woody Johnson to do that? Is this it? And by the way, even if this is it, this is my biggest problem. Even if he decides right now, I'm no longer involved, I'm going to hire a bunch of people and leave, no one will take the job because they don't trust you. Because they believe, well, in year three, he'll just get reinvolved again.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
And that's
unless,
why...
unless there's a buffer put in place. And I don't know if that's even a conversation right now.
Mm.
Now, it's another hire. And obviously that hire will be scrutinized, as I'm sure any hire will be, head coach, general manager, etc. But it almost feels necessary at this point.
Yeah.
It's like springs. You put more, I don't know, people between like the ground and the chassis. It makes it smoother.
Well, crazily to say, the buffer between Woody Johnson and the New York Jets is going to be his new job in the Trump administration.
Uh-huh.
Because the one thing I do believe about Woody is when he took that job in 2017,
right,
and he left the New York Jets, I don't think he was ever involved. Like, you never heard anything about him being involved while in the UK. It was a Christopher show. Now, Christopher didn't do a great job. Christopher didn't hire great people. In fact, he did a terrible job hiring people. But it never felt like Christopher was too handsy. Mm. It felt like he just hired the wrong people, trusted Adam Gase. Connor Hughes said it yesterday. He was probably too trusting.
Yep.
And hopefully he learns from that. But the way it sounds now is that Woody's going to hire somebody. No one's going to trust him to take the job, but they'll take it. Somebody will. And then Woody leaves. Now, that's not forever. It's only for the administration,
right,
or maybe less. Who knows? I don't know if he completes 4 years working in the Trump administration. I have no idea. He did it 4 years ago. Doesn't mean he's going to do it again. But that's actually going to be the buffer. The buffer is going to be he's in the UK, if that's the job he does.
Your team is very good.
Well, maybe thank
that's
you.
That's even more of a reason to get someone to be a go-between.
Right.
I'm serious. Because now he has more connection. Just it's less powerful.
Let's go to Angelo in Matawan. How are you today, Angelo?
How's it going, guys? I'm just a Jets fan that's tired of everything at this point.
Tired of everything. Well said. We're tired of everything.
It's just there's only one person that they need to bring in as a coach, and it's Rex Ryan. It just has to be done. I mean, Woody Johnson, I've never really liked him as an owner.
Right.
And he's tried his best the past couple of years. I've seen him put more effort in, but it's just he's not doing good enough.
Here's my issue with your suggestion, a suggestion that Beningo has brought up for a while now, a suggestion that a lot of Jet fans like to say. I love Rex Ryan. I adore Rex Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
There is always going to be a special place in my heart for Rex Ryan.
It's hard not to because of the success that he had even for a few years.
Absolutely. And I hate hearing this idea, well, he didn't really accomplish anything. He inherited a good roster. Who cares? You still have to coach it.
Yes.
That roster he inherited choked at the end of the 2008 season, and it cost Eric Mangini his job. So, yes, he inherited a very good roster, but they won 9 games and got to the AFC title game. Then they won 11 games and got to the AFC title game. And, oh, by the way, did it with a rookie quarterback and a second-year quarterback. So for as much as people like to dismiss Rex Ryan,
the days when the run game was important.
Sure, and they did a great job of taking advantage of that. They had success.
Right.
But what I can't ignore about Rex Ryan is that the last, how many years, 4 years of his time with the New York Jets was a disaster. It wasn't good. Now, maybe it wasn't on a win-loss disaster that we're used to in the last 5 years. 8-8 back then was pretty bad. Now, 8-8 or 9-8 seems like a success.
Well, 8-8, because this is what the NFL wants, or close to .500, that can get you in the postseason.
Sometimes it can. And in 2011, it almost did. Unfortunately, Victor Cruz is still running. But I can't get past the fact that a decade ago, that's how long ago this was, Rex Ryan's tenure with the Jets ended badly. And I think we're just so nostalgic for the good, the last good we really had, that we're looking past that to say, bring in Rex. Like, he's not a magic elixir. He's got a great personality. I appreciate what he did in 9 and 10. But my God, we're talking about him like he's going to fix all our problems. It was 12 years ago, and it didn't end well.
It's a desperate fan base, and Rex represents happy times. Not a Super Bowl, but happy times. And you want to go back to that for that warm, fuzzy feeling. It's not going to
That's
work
all
out.
It is.
That's all yeah. this is.
Well, you're also dealing with what we now think might be, and this is maybe extreme, a maniac of an owner that you need to find somebody he trusts so he semi-stays out of meddling in the business. And that's the biggest argument for Rex, as crazy as it sounds. Woody might actually leave him the hell alone.
Right.
Because he trusts him.
Stop second-guessing him.
Yes.
So why don't you bring back Mike Tannenbaum while at it, too? Why don't you just get the whole band back together?
Yeah, I forget how that ended.
It's a process.
It ended right. with Mike Tannenbaum being fired and being replaced because by John Idzik.
Because of what?
Them not winning. Tim Tebow. I mean, take your pick.
I mean, the Tim Tebow is probably the answer, but it's like these options that really don't have a chance to be successful. I get that.
It's going backwards. Like, I know he's 78 years old, so it's not the same thing, but do you hear Giant fans calling up saying, just hire Tom Coughlin? Like, have we heard that over the last five years? Why? He's your last real successful head coach. Just start screaming and yelling for
if
Tom Coughlin.
If Coughlin was 61, we would be.
Yeah, I think Tom's aged out of it a little bit.
Okay.
So,
I mean,
Rex is 61.
Right, but how old's Bill? And when people talk about Bill, he's only a few Bill's years younger than Tom.
Him. He's not coaching.
No, but I mean, people call for Bill. I'm talking about the age thing.
Right.
But that's how crazy it would be.
Well, Bill was just coaching a year ago.
Okay,
Tom hasn't coached since he left.
Okay, but
right? He never had another coaching job.
He was with the Jags, but not like consultant.
Yeah. But not as a coach.
But forget about right now, because right now Tom is 78 years old, and right now it's 2024.
Mm-hmm.
What about after McAdoo was fired? Did we hear screams of bringing back Tom Coughlin? Was that a thing? Or was that a thing I missed?
No. Probably too soon.
Okay, then after Shurmur. Like, okay, take your pick on the coaches the Giants have gotten rid of in the last decade. Were we screaming and yelling for yesteryear to bring back Tom Coughlin? Because Giant fans, I hate to say this, I'm going to compliment you guys, watch out.
Mm.
They actually are more mature than us maniac Jet fans. We're such losers as Jet fans. We are such pathetic losers.
Because you want to go back to what's comfortable and what previously worked.
Yes, and by the way, what worked was two title games. Tom Coughlin's got this thing called two Super Bowls.
Mm.
And yet we're hearkening back to our cute little two title games. Well, why don't we bring Mark Sanchez back? Let's get him out of the Fox booth. Let's make him the QB coach. Mm. Like, what are we really doing? So I understand we're all delusional, we're all crazy, we're all saying wacky things right now because we're very emotional. We're very, very emotional.
That's not it.
What?
I think you're still missing the point.
What point?
Woody Johnson can't get fired, he's the owner. So you have to take that and go, all right, if I got to work with this, what am I want that's going to be able to work with the owner? That's why Rex comes in.
Yeah.
And if that means Mark Sanchez coaching quarterback, so be it. You need to find the best solution to work with this maniac because he's not thinking straight.
Screw it. If the Jets are going to tank next year, how old's Mark? Let him quarterback. Just bring him back. Let him play for a year. What?
He can't be that old. What was he drafted in, 09?
Yes. He's probably young.
35 or so.
He's younger than Aaron Rodgers. Bring him back.
Mark that's 30. He's 38.
Is he really?
He's 38.
38. Yeah, he is younger than
He's basically the same age as Tyrod Taylor. That would be the fun tanking year next year, right? Just for 1 year. Yeah, everybody has their fun. Rex coaches for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Sanchez is the quarterback.
Tebow's the backup. Just go all in.
Yeah, we'll go all in. Alan Faneca's going to come out of retirement. He's just going to be on the offensive line.
He's very thin now.
Oh, is he? Crap. We got to try something
Maybe
else.
Maybe Mangold.
Nick Mangold comes back.
But I think he's coaching high school in Jersey.
Well, it's 1 year of just playing.
No.
Then the Jets go 0-17, and we got Arch Manning. And now we're hitching our wagon to a Manning, which is just weird.
I mean, that could be, though, special.
It could be very, very special, yes. Pete's in Seaford. What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
You know, as much as I want to, everyone wants to throw this at Woody's feet, owners meddling, regardless of the sport, just never works out, right? But absent from that Athletic article that I just reread while I was waiting on hold was anything before this season. Did Woody insist on having Zach Wilson as the backup quarterback last season?
Mm.
Knowing Rodgers, I mean, listen, the Achilles injury was devastating, but with his age and recent injury history, did anyone expect Aaron Rodgers to play 17 games last season?
Mm.
I didn't.
I'm with it.
Did Woody Johnson put out the tape on Sauce Gardner that says if you attack this guy downhill, he couldn't tackle any of the three of us on this phone call right now? Is that Woody's fault? Did Woody tell Michael Clemens you can't ever set an edge ever in any game that you play in? I don't think so. So even though I was for the Sala firing because I thought he had lost the locker room, maybe I was a little premature on that one. I think that Douglas, as you said, Evan, he played out all 6 years basically of his contract and really failed to put a cohesive team together. And Woody, even though maybe he did stick his nose in where it didn't belong for a try to get rich quick, fix the team solution, and he swung and he missed, I almost don't blame him because there is no president. Who is he going to go to? GM has failed. GM has failed. What are you supposed to do?
Pete, I agree with most of what you said about Joe Douglas failed. There's no debate. I don't think anyone is going to call up and defend Joe Douglas. 30-63 speaks for itself. And if you want to be more honest about that record, it's actually worse. It's 23-55. Why do I say that? He inherited a roster and they went into 7-9. Yeah. The best year he had. That wasn't even his roster. He didn't even have an offseason. He was hired in May, in June, after free agency, after the draft.
That was the weirdest situation I've ever seen.
Well, it's the story of the New York Jets. So he was 23-55 as a GM. That's a winning percentage that's under 30%. So there's no debating that Joe Douglas failed at every turn as the GM of the New York Jets. Complete agreement. And yes, he was given enough time. I think we'd all agree. You get the full 5.5 to 6 years of your contract. My God, that's an amazing amount of time.
Right. Good for you.
That's great.
It's hard to do that.
That's why Joe Douglas deserves an immense amount of credit for being so bad at his job and yet maintaining it for as long as he did.
Right.
My issue is, even at the end, you can't have a football season, which this season has become, run by the circus leader. And that's what this turned into. If you believe Joe Douglas failed at the end of last year, then fire him. And fire Robert Saleh, too. We all would have understood it. We would have. Now, was it complicated because of Rodgers? Maybe a little bit.
Of course it was.
Because Rodgers is here. He hadn't really played a game yet. I get all that. But then you got to make a decision. It's bleep or get off the pot. That's the phrase, right?
Yes.
Except I took the curse out.
Right. Well, the challenge of it is, with Aaron Rodgers, so much of this was just blind belief. I'm not knocking Aaron at all, because he's a fantastic quarterback when he's healthy and when he understands everything and the guys around him understand what he's trying to do. He's fantastic. But that's not anywhere close to the circumstances he's in.
Mm.
And so, I think the most frustrated person in all of this is probably Aaron Rodgers.
I'm sure.
Because he's used to, for the majority of his 20-year career, being great at what he does.
Right.
Even when things aren't perfect, he's always been great. So how all of a sudden, at the end of your career, maybe it's age, maybe it's the injury, who knows, but at the end of your career, you just can't will it or make it happen.
Now, you're right. We'll get to more of your Jet calls as the show rolls on, but when we come back, Tommy DeVito is the guy. He is the starting quarterback for the New York Football Giants. Are Giant players angry about it? We'll examine it coming up live. So, a couple days ago, I listen to what Tiki says, right? I don't just, ignore him. He says stuff, I listen. Tiki Barber said, do you remember saying this?
Hey, I don't know what you're referring to.
You're about to hear it.
Just dropping knowledge, bro.
You drop a lot of knowledge. You said, I'd be curious to hear what the players think of the decision to go to Tommy DeVito.
I do remember this.
All right? So here's what we know. Yesterday, late in the show, we read the comments from Dexter Lawrence, which seemed very innocent. Basically, to paraphrase, Dexter Lawrence was, I love Daniel Jones. He's my QB1, all that. And remember, they were in the same draft class. They're very close. It was a supportive message of Daniel that really wasn't undercutting DeVito that much, except for the part where he says he's QB1.
Right, but I think he also then went on to say, we all have respect for Tommy DeVito.
Right.
Right. He kind of said the right thing, even though it was a roundabout way of lauding both.
Indeed. Now, Jordan Schultz is a reporter who says that one offensive player told me on the phone, that's Jordan, quote, we're not idiots. They did it because of money. Mm-hmm. So be it. But Daniel has been all class, never complained, and is now being completely disregarded. The team record is bad. You can point fingers everywhere. To try to blame him as trash and making him third string is weak as bleep.
Well, it's probably weaker that he's actually going to be fourth string.
I know. It's even weaker. He's the fourth string guy.
I get why guys are emotional. I don't understand, though, why guys say emotional things to reporters who are going to write it. Because it creates the implication that there's disconnects in that locker room, that everybody hates this move, that all the players are so friendly and respect Daniel Jones, and that Tommy DeVito can't be their leader because Daniel is. And that's just not the reality of the game, right? In the NFL, it is a bottom line business.
Yep.
You do not have to like your teammates. It helps if you do, but you do have to win. And if you're not winning, changes are going to be made. Now, maybe it's a naivety by some of these young players who think that it's like college where, I was a top five recruit in my position. I'm going to start, and then you were a top four recruit. You're going to be next to me, and we're boys like this forever. That doesn't work like that in the NFL. It is a week-to-week, year-to-year proposition.
And if you get any inkling that you're slouching or leaving, they're going to try to replace you.
Right.
And the reality, I mean, I know this personally because I got replaced four times.
Mm.
Four times. And you don't just quit and say, all right, well, I guess that's it. Feel sorry for me, guys. Go talk to the media and tell them how good of a person I am. and like, that's, it's just stupid. Like, it's not what this game is about. The game's about winning. And if you're not winning, something has to change, period. And this is a change. It's not maybe the one that's going to make the biggest difference, but it's at least a change. And it's the easiest one to make. What are you going to do? Change every offensive line position?
No, you can't.
You're going to go start the practice squad wide receivers? You're going to, you know, bench Deontay Banks and put some practice squad out there, guy out there, and see if you spark the offense? I hate that word spark because that's not what's really happening. It's just doing something different because what you're doing isn't working.
Right.
Period. And so this annoys me when I hear this. We like this guy, and so now it's going to disrupt the locker room. Come on. It's just football. It's about winning, and you're not winning. There are things that are going to change. Period.
Is it possible? And maybe I'm reading too much into this. That it's not just feeling bad for Daniel, because they are 2-8. I think everyone has to realize that. Maybe they're telling you without telling you. They don't believe in Tommy DeVito.
I don't shine shoes anymore.
Maybe. That they're not enamored with him. There isn't a kind of Mike White feel to him that the Jet locker room had. That they're just like, yeah, he's a nice kid, whatever.
Possibly, but, I mean, does it matter? It's not their decision to make.
So my question to you is, here's how I question if it matters or not. You're in a 2-8 locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're still competing your ass off.
Of course.
And now you believe the coach has made a decision that hurts your chances of winning because they don't think Tommy DeVito's any good.
Okay.
Would that discourage you?
Just think about what you just said.
I know. It's really
pathetic. It's so asinine, it's hard to even answer.
Well, hold on. But you understand where I'm coming from.
You're in a 2-8 locker room.
Yes.
And you think making a change, regardless of what that change is, but in this case, it's Tommy DeVito taking the reins from
Daniel Jones.
And you think they're going to think it gives him a less chance?
I'm asking a question, bro. I don't know.
They haven't won games.
I know they suck. They're 2-8, but do they not?
They lose games in critical moments.
But do they not
throw interceptions when it matters in the red zone? They've scored 15 points a game for two freaking years.
Mm.
I don't care what you think the answer is, because I'm sure that all those guys have the bona fide answer because they're in that locker room. Something has to change. You can't just keep banging your head against the wall doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. Now, maybe this is like an indictment on how Daboll is coaching them, but I almost don't mind this from Daboll because you're going to lose your job if you go 2-15, right? So you have to try something different. And look, I don't know if Tommy DeVito is the answer. I have no idea, but he is interesting. And I went back, because we're calling this game this weekend, and I watched a lot of Tommy DeVito tape from last year. Now, the Dallas game, forget it. They were so bad. They were backed up early. They got down early, and it was ugly. And he threw three interceptions in his first two games. After that, he didn't throw an interception.
Mm-hmm.
He had a 3-touchdown game. He had a 2-touchdown game. He was actually pretty damn good, right? He got rid of the ball on time. He got to his spot. And he knew exactly where he wanted to go. If it wasn't there, he'd move off of it and get to the second stage of his progression. He unlocked, somehow, Jalen Hyatt, right? And so, like, when you look at what he did, one was just, like, such a soft, beautiful lob into that honey hole they call in cover two between, you know, the flat corner and the safety that's trying to get over top. It was such a perfect throw, right? And then so, like, when I look at what Tommy did, it's exactly what Daboll wants to do in this offense, which is push the ball downfield. Daniel Jones, for whatever reason, just wasn't willing to do it.
Why do you think the guys like him just because they like him?
Who, Daniel Jones?
No, the locker room. You think it's more about they just like the guy more so than believing he gives them the best chance to win?
Daniel Jones is probably the most likable guy in the NFL.
Okay.
Period.
So that's what this is about then.
This is all this is about. 100%. There's nothing to not like about him.
It's really the opposite of the Zach Wilson situation because it felt like everybody hated
him. He's not cocky.
Right.
He's very much a hard worker. He grinds. Hell, I remember when Jason Garrett was still the offensive coordinator, one of the many offensive coordinators he had. I went down to Jason's camp that he had down in Princeton, and I was like, oh, man, tell me about Daniel Jones. He's like, dude, this kid, like, runs with the fastest guys on the team. He's in the gym before most guys get there. This guy grinds, and he's aware, and he's smart. And he's a good leader, but ultimately, being a quarterback in the NFL is execution, and he's simply not doing it. And that's not an indictment on anyone except for him, period.
Mm. Now, Brian Daboll was asked about his thoughts on Dexter Lawrence's comments, which, again, we talked about. They were relatively innocent. They were mostly, he loves Daniel. That's his QB1.
Right.
And so Brian Daboll said, hey, what do you think about what Dexter Lawrence had to say?
Yeah, again, I got a lot of respect for Dex. Dex has, you know, been a teammate of Daniel for a while. There's a pretty good relationship with there. And look, everybody's not going to agree with the decision. And I understand that. We make the decision we feel is best. And then we move forward and get ready to go for practice here.
I think we all agree with the decision. We were done with Daniel Jones. I wonder, are the players talking to each other about this decision?
Of course they are.
And what do you think they're saying mostly?
I don't get this, man. That's so wrong to do DJ like that. We know it's about money. Man, that sucks for him. It doesn't suck for him. He made $108 million in his career. Daniel Jones is going to be just fine. Worry about winning the game. Stop worrying about your friend on game day. Because that's not what you're there for.
Mm.
You're not there to have relationships with dudes that you're going to be in your wedding 30 years from now. You're there to win. If that happens because you're a good person and you're friendly with a lot of guys on your team, like I am with a lot of the guys that I played with, fantastic. But that's not why you're there. Right? And you're not going to have a good memory of it if you're losing every single season. I know Dexter Lawrence also said, you know, weeks ago or maybe even before the season, I'm not about losing.
Right.
I'm tired of being, let's go to next year. Well, you're losing.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do about it?
Brian Daboll was also asked, will you commit to Tommy DeVito for the rest of this season?
Yeah, I'm not going to go, you know, what's going to be. I'm going to focus on this week with Tampa. You know, try to do the best job we can to get him ready to play so he can go out there and perform at the highest level he can.
I think that's probably the right answer.
And, am I right?
And nor should he.
Yeah, you can't commit to him.
We don't know if Tommy DeVito is going to suck.
Right.
He could be great or he could be terrible. And then you'll make another evaluation. That's when you're 2-8. That's what happens, right? I don't know why. Maybe these guys are just used to playing on winning teams, so they don't know how to handle failure. We talk about this all the time. It's a cliche. Like, how do you handle failure? This is it. This is it, right? Failure means something's got to change. Period.
Right.
And so maybe these guys, because they came from places where they didn't fail, they don't know how to handle failure. And right now, change is happening. And it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel nice. You feel bad for Daniel Jones. But your job is to win football games. Period. End of story.
If Tommy DeVito doesn't play well, though. Because I agree with Daboll. I don't think he should have committed to him for the rest of the season. Like, what the hell is the point of that? No, I agree with him. I'm saying I agree. I think that's the right answer. But if he's terrible, you're not benching him for anyone else. You're not benching him for Drew Locke or Tim Boyle. There's no way. We would be against that. Wouldn't we all be against that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I know you. You're a Tommy DeVito shill. I mean, Tommy DeVito's going to have three interceptions, and you're going to blame everybody else.
Of course I am. No, I
know. I agree.
I'm a Tommy DeVito supporter, not a shill.
Shill? That shill doesn't work? You want supporter?
By the way, these players in the locker room, they're going to love Tommy when he rips off two wins in a row. they'll change their tune real quick.
By the way, if he does, right? Don't you have to?
Of course.
Of course.
That's easy, though. Of course, when you play well, it's easy to win the players over. I was more intrigued by how they were going to react to this. And it's really like, we love Daniel. That's the reaction.
Right.
Now, you could say, screw him, it doesn't matter. I understand what you're saying. You're right. I'm just curious how they were going to react. You're not getting the Mike White reaction. Now, maybe the Mike White reaction was more about disliking Zach Wilson than it was loving Mike White. I have no idea. And look, what does the Mike White reaction mean when you don't win? Didn't matter. You got to go play well. Tommy DeVito has every chance to go play well.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of guys in that locker room that also probably realize when they're looking at tape and looking in the locker room, and this has been brought up, it's not just Daniel Jones. A lot of them are letting down. So who is anybody else in that locker room just to dump on Daniel Jones because he's getting benched?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, hey, you're lucky you're not.
Right, exactly. So say nice things about him. I don't think it should be like some kind of locker room turmoil over
there. You know what's crazy? I don't know if you guys feel this way at all, but over the last 48 hours, Daniel Jones has become a sympathetic figure.
I've had it.
Of course he has.
He's become, he's the fourth quarterback. Oh, don't you feel bad for him? We went from 6 years of criticizing every move. He's this, he sucks, he's that. I'm so glad he's gone. I'm so glad he's not starting. To within 48 hours, people want to tear up when they see Daniel Jones standing there with the red jersey.
It's enough. It's enough. I don't care that his hand's in the hand warmers. He could be the greatest guy in the world. He is a multimillionaire that Atiki pointed out will be fine. Let's stop painting that we should be sad for Daniel Jones today. It's a new guy, a new opportunity.
So
let's
I'm guessing you don't have compassion for Daniel Jones?
No, I don't.
You don't think it's sad seeing him stand there as the fourth quarterback?
No, you know what's sad?
What?
Me with a freaking bag of Cheetos every Sunday at 3:45 going, this guy again doesn't throw the ball and takes a sack. That's sad.
You know what's sad?
By the way, Tommy DeVito does that a lot.
I know.
He cannot take sacks like he did last year.
Seat caucus. I know. But we haven't given him a second contract.
He led the league in sack percentage last year.
Even in that preseason game against the Jets, I was telling him, I'm like, God, this guy's taking every sack in the world. I think the sadness is not about Daniel Jones being benched, if I'm going to be real with you. I think the sadness is what the league and what that contract put the Giants in position to have to do.
Yes.
If there was no injury clause, he would just be the backup. Or maybe he'd still be starting, but probably not, because I agree with Tiki. Time to move on. Let's see what we got.
Yes.
But you'd make him the backup because, he has to play, The fact that there's this $23 million guarantee, which is such a long shot to occur, which you've pointed out, has put the Giants in a spot where they're signing Tim Boyle, and they're embarrassing the man in Daniel Jones and making him the fourth quarterback. I get why they're doing it. I agree that they're doing it. But the situation has caused this. That's the sad part.
But why is everybody suddenly acting, whether it's in the locker room or fans, surprised? We've all thought and knew this was coming this year.
Because the reality of it. It's not that
we're so then when you finally see, like, oh my God, I feel bad for Daniel Jones. We've all thought this since August that this moment was going to come.
But I don't know if the players have.
Yeah, the players definitely
do. So what we're doing is we're taking the players' reaction and we're projecting it onto the fans. The fan base is not saying what the players are saying. They don't know Daniel Jones to know how great of a guy he is.
Sean is very much in touch with Giant fans. He hosts a very popular Giant fanish podcast.
Fanish?
Do you get the sense that
one Giant step, by
one way. Giant step. I hold a Met fanish kind of podcast. Okay. There's nothing offensive
about
that. It's
not Giant fanish, you know.
Yeah. We're watching, reacting, we're previewing.
You make it sound like his podcast is Giant fanish.
Well, that's what it is.
Yeah, lipstick and just go, let's go.
Name. What? The name is One Giant Step.
Oh, I know.
It's a play on words.
I'm describing it like the Rico Bronya is a Met fanish kind of podcast. I think we're the same.
But you said Rico Bronya.
Right.
You did not say.
Oh, I got you.
It was very patronizing.
I apologize. Once you get a certain amount of downloads, I'll call it by a certain name.
Is that right?
I'm
a shill and you're a jabroni.
I'm just joking around. You're in touch with Giant fans.
Sure.
Do you get the sense that there's, what's the word I was using?
Compassion.
No. Do you get the sense there's compassion for Daniel Jones?
I would say the fan base is less fractured now, but there is still a fraction of fans that now are watching this develop going, oh, this is wrong. He should still be the backup. There are fans that still stick by that because Daniel Jones, he wasn't hateable, I guess, is the thing. Like, he's frustrating
not,
as hell.
He never will
be.
Yeah.
So but that's okay. There's nice people that walk through the buildings or every day. It doesn't mean you just feel compassion when they lose their job. It's
I
enough.
I just saw our future. And I'm, like, sick by it. I know what's going to happen over the next few weeks.
Go ahead.
I walk you through this?
Go ahead. This is for the Jets.
For the Giants.
Oh, for the Giants.
We'll get back to the Jets in a few minutes. And Juan Soto. A lot of Juan Soto stuff. Tommy DeVito's going to struggle on Sunday. I just think he is. I'm not trying to be a jerk. He's going to struggle. And we're going to come in, and you're going to give great analysis. You're going to call the game. And you're going to say, okay, here's what happened, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to say, yeah, Teak is a fan, man. He really struggled. Sean's going to be like, yeah, he struggled. And then Tommy's going to turn the microphone on, and it's going to—I'm telling you right now, Teak, you're going to lose your mind.
Go ahead.
And Tommy's going to be like, "Well, you know, that was Jalen Hyatt's fault. That was Brian Daboll's fault." He is going to blame everything on everybody but Tommy DeVito. And so, for that reason, I actually hope DeVito plays awesome, because then Tommy, being just a fanboy cheering on, will be fun.
You don't want to hear it.
Like, I'll join in. I'll be like, hey, he's playing great. You're out. It's fantastic. But if you're arguing against the world on the reality of what we watch on Sunday, it's going
to
be rough.
Well, because you have to know where I'm going here, going into this, and what I've already put out there on social media.
Why don't
and on
you think he's the future? Okay.
I think, he's going to be the quarterback for the next 10 years. I think he's the next Tom Brady. So I will continue to bang the drum when he plays great on Sunday.
But if he doesn't? You're going to just say the reality wasn't true?
If he plays one bad game, I'm not, dumping him to the corner.
I'm not saying you're dumping him to the corner, but as much as, look, I do, that you believe Tommy DeVito can not just be a starter, but he can be Tom Brady. That's great. But at some point, there may be a moment where you have to say, boy, Anna, I may be wrong about this.
Mm-hmm.
Will that ever happen?
No.
I don't see that.
Me and Tommy DeVito are mated for life like geese.
Right.
I will support him forever.
What if he throws five interceptions?
He's not going to throw five interceptions because he doesn't throw interceptions. He didn't do it in college. He didn't do it last year. He doesn't throw interceptions. Tiki just laid it out. He doesn't turn the ball over.
So that's not going to happen. He's got to take less sacks, but the offensive line's better. Tommy's going to cook, bro. I'm just telling you right now. No, he is. Legitimately, they're going to be 2-0 here after Dallas, and okay. Then whoever's next, look out.
Look, positive gimmick over here. What did he do with the Knicks, right? They were the uncrowned champions. Even when you take the loss, you don't take the loss. The Mets, they lose in the NLCS. The future's bright. The positive Jet stuff, you had to talk him into being fired, even after all of that.
We had to end it. We had to put him out.
I pulled him off.
Yeah.
I pulled him off. I made an executive decision.
Here is where I will bend
a
little
bit.
Tommy. Thank you, Tiki. It's been great for my life all week to get rid of the Jet fandom stuff. Here is where
Imagine positive Tommy defending the Jets after that Woody story.
I know.
That's a good owner. That's an owner who cares.
You know exactly. What he was trying to do was, I don't know.
So I think DeVito will be the starter for the next 10 years, but I will bend here, at least be the backup for the next 10 years, because he always represents fun. He represents somebody that we could rally around, somebody that we can push the starter, whether we draft a rookie, whether we bring in a veteran. Tommy could be the backup for the next 10 years. I think he's going
to
be the starter.
So you just went from Tom Brady to the backup.
No. You asked me how I would... So this is where you want me to walk into a bear trap.
No, I'm just asking you.
I just said that if for some reason he does struggle, I will still support him to be on the team to grow and develop and maybe even be the starter.
I want you to get on your knees right now.
All right, be careful here, big guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you like to hear from Tommy DeVito?
Is he in the room?
No.
I didn't
Would you like to hear from your quarterback?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tommy DeVito.
The celebrity last year was kind of unexpected. Now everybody knows you a heck of a lot more than they did last year. But you've mentioned that before, the idea of how it's about the football for you. How important is it that you are known for the football and not for the NBA?
I mean, like I said, like last year was like a good story and all. It was kind of like how it happened, but you know, all the fun and games like outside was... It was fun. It was last year. I'm kind of over that. I'm sticking to football now. Not that I wasn't before, but really focused on that. The external stuff will be, you know, on pause. Will already had talks with everybody around me, like my inner circle. Like, it is going to stay very tight and make sure that everything is about production.
Oh, I like that.
Mm. You know what shines, Billy.
You know what that sounds like?
Tom Brady.
Sounds like Brian Daboll got to him. It sounds like Dave's and Company was like, listen, we're going to give you the shot, but we better not see you at a Circuit City on a Thursday night at 10 o'clock.
Well, I mean, what's his name is gone. What's the guy's name?
The agent?
Stiletto.
No, he's still around. Still is like marketing or something, right?
No, doesn't he? The Lepselters are his marketing.
Oh, okay. I just saw him with Big Tom doing something.
Yeah, he's around. But,
yeah, that's what I mean.
You know, he's moved on.
Yeah, he's moved on. Tommy's focused on football.
He's sleeping with the fishes, this guy.
Let's go to Eitan in Riverdale. What's up, Eitan?
Tiki, you did a phenomenal job last year when you actually predicted that Caleb Williams was going to struggle. You said he's a fumbling machine.
Right.
You said he was going to struggle, and he did struggle. And Evan, you need to acknowledge that. Now, the thing is,
Tiki,
is that
I acknowledge you.
Thank you.
Okay. I need to know this from you.
Go ahead.
Basically, what I want to know is, as far as Shedeur Sanders or Ward.
Yes.
Part of me doesn't want Shedeur Sanders because I don't need the whole Lucky Sperm Club thing with the kid with the trust fund coming to be my quarterback.
Meaning you don't want Deion.
I don't want that.
You don't want Deion, Eitan, right?
No, I don't want someone coming into the league with so much more money than me. And then the other thing is, I really want an honest analysis because I feel like I know about, you know, Shedeur, that he's accurate and it's more short pass. He gets the ball out quickly. Tell me about Ward and if Ward would be a good pick for the Giants.
So I think
do the kind of, not to put pressure on you,
right,
but it should be as outstanding as it was last year.
Well, it's as much as I would love to dig into it, I'm not prepared to. I can only tell you what I've seen. So there's something about a quarterback, and now I'm talking about Shedeur, who knows what it takes to do this on a high level. And it's not because his dad is Deion Sanders, but it is kind of because his dad is Deion Sanders, right? He's been groomed since he was, I don't know, 8 years old. I'm trying to remember the first time I started seeing these videos that his dad was posting about him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was like, man, this kid is a ridiculous athlete. And then Deion starts coaching because he wants to coach his kid. And then he goes with him to, Jackson State? Yeah, goes to Jackson State, and he gets a Colorado job, and he transfers him. And so every step of the way, he's doing exactly what his dad did to make him understand what it takes to be great at the position.
Now, I don't want to talk about stats. I don't want to talk about, you know, with the throws he makes, because it's college football, dude. Like, you're getting cover two, cover four. Maybe every now and then they'll play man coverage. It's nothing that's going to confuse you, right? You just got to be able to make the throws. And half the time, it's scrambling around. Something breaks down. Oh, I see my buddy down there on the three-yard line. Let me just throw it as hard as I can, and it gets to him. So that's really not what I care about when I look at these quarterbacks. There is an it that I need to see from guys, right? Shedeur Sanders has it.
Mm.
He has that ability to make a play. And I don't care what the circumstances are, but he's not going to let himself or his team fail. Now, they don't win because sometimes they're just not better. But I'll give you a perfect example. So Baker Mayfield, we talked about this 2 days ago or yesterday. Maybe that's who the Jets should have went after.
Right.
So because they're playing the Giants, I've been watching a lot of Baker Mayfield. And so Baker had two plays against San Francisco. One, you know, Nick Bosa gets like right in his grill and he's trying to sack him. And Baker's just like holding him off, like stiff arming, holding him off. It's 4th and 7. The last thing he can do is take a sack as they're trying to come back in this game. And he makes the throw to Rashad White and gets a first down. And it's just like, man, that's just making a play happen. The play was all effed up, right? But he made it happen. Shedeur Sanders does that. Cam Ward, he's more of a volume guy, and I haven't watched enough of him to know. But if I had to pick, I mean, I almost want the guy who knows how to be the hero. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's who Baker was when he was in college. That's who he was in his first couple, you know, playing days at Cleveland. It's what he was with the Buccaneers for the last couple of years as he's trying to get them into the postseason. Like, I kind of want that guy. And so, are we going to get him? I don't know.
It depends how bad or good Tommy DeVito is and if the Giants win games or not. Right. We'll get back to your calls coming up. A lot of Giants and Jets. Plus, Hal Steinbrenner talked a lot today concerning Juan Soto and his chances of remaining with the New York Yankees. What he said, was it a good thing? Was it a bad thing? Does it make you feel less certain about the future of Juan Soto? We'll let you hear what he said, and we'll analyze it coming up. Evan and Tiki on the Fan.